I want to apologize first that we're still in this room. I like this room, and we're going to stay in this room until we're forced out. We'll see what happens. We'll start with Hashem had a big suffix. Hashem, when he took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he had a big suffix. He didn't know which direction to take them in. He could take them one way, Derech Plishtim, and he would take them in a place that's civilized, that has people, that's populated. And that way they would have food, they would have comfort, they would have a hotel, they would have a place to sleep. If you would take them through Derech Plishtim, they would have all their physical accommodations that they would need. But the danger was that Plishtim had a lot of issues, and part of the issues was that it wasn't necessarily the most ruchnius place. And then Hashem looked the other way, and he said he could take them through the Midbar. And in the Midbar, there was no food, and there was no drink, and there was no sleep, there was no accommodations, no hotels, no nothing. Physically, it was an empty place. But Hashem said maybe they could strive. Maybe they could thrive in the Midbar. And he had a suffix. By Hashem, it was a suffix ashakel. It was an even suffix. He didn't know. Derech Plishtim, Derech the Midbar, he wasn't sure. And then he decided for a certain reason to take them through the Midbar and not through Derech Plishtim. And there's a lot of midrashim why he did that. We're going to focus on one. V'lonochem elokim derech eretz plishtim. Hashem decided on that suffix not to take them through derech eretz plishtim. Lama, how come? Ela shito shiftu shel Ephraim. Because the shevet of Ephraim made a mistake. V'yatzu mimitzrayim ad shelo sholim haketz. They thought, they were very excited that they knew that Klal Yisrael was going to end up leaving Mitzrayim. Hashem promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that Klal Yisrael will go out. So Ephraim was always very excited about this, and they made a mistake. V'nergu mehem shloshim ribo. So 30,000 people made an early escape from Mitzrayim, from Shevet Ephraim, and 30,000 people were killed. V'lomo nergu, why were they killed? Chishvu miyom shenedaber Avram ben Abasarim. Because they counted the days from the Bris Ben Abasarim, they thought that was the beginning of the Shibur Mitzrayim. V'tol lamid shana, they made a mistake of 30 years. Darshan's psukim. V'hoyu atzmoyseim shtuchim baderech chamorim chamorim. And on the way to Plishtim, there were heaps and piles of bones from Shevet Ephraim, from the 30,000 people who 30 years ago were killed al pi kiddush Hashem. So there were these piles of bones, and Hashem was nervous. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Yiru Yisrael Atzmeis Bnei Ephraim Shtuchim Baderech, if my Jews see all these bones piled up on the way to get to Eretz Yisrael, Yachzeru L'Mitzrayim. There's no hope. They're certainly going to go back to Mitzrayim. They're going to see this. They're going to get so demoralized. They're certainly going to go back. So Pashut Kasha, so take away the bones. I'm saying, we just went through Eser Makos. Hashem is going to do a lot of miracles on the way. Kriyas Yamsuf didn't happen yet. So a few bones. So push them away, sink them under the ground, get rid of the bones, and if that's the best opportune way to take Klal Yisrael, so take them through Derech Eretz Plishtim. Why is it so important that they have to go another way because of a few bones? So a lot of times you see a Medrash, and the Medrash then brings a Mashal. So the Mashal usually brings out another Nakuda. It maybe stresses a point that the Medrash is trying to make. So the Medrash continues. What's it similar to? Lamelech Shenosa Isha. A certain king married a woman. Ubikish Lelech Lemedinaso. And then he wanted, after his wedding, to go back to his country. Hoshiva Ba'apirion Velohispik Likonis Lemedina. But a tragedy happened, and the queen died before he had a chance to go back to his Medina. So Kavara Al Pesach HaMedina, so the country where he was staying at the time, where he got married, he had to bury her at the front of the Medina. And afterwards, he married the sister. I'm so scared that what's going to happen, my new wife, we're going to go out of this country, and she's going to see the gravesite of her sister. And she's going to remember her sister, and it's going to ruin the whole simcha, the whole chasana, the whole sheva brachos. It's going to ruin the whole party. So he decided to go in a different direction. So that's what the Medrash says, that's what Hashem did. So he could have taken away the bones. But Klal Yisrael knew that that's where Auschwitz was. They're going to walk right through Auschwitz, and even if there aren't going to be any remnants, any facts to show what happened there, but everybody knows what happened there. And he didn't want that they should have a Chalishas Hadash, they should be demoralized. this to me is very, I feel like it's calling out Klal Yisrael too fast. Klal Yisrael is on a very high madrega. They just went through the Eser Makos, they're coming out Biyad Ramah. There's a lot of excitement going on. They just went and they shechted the Mitzrim's gods in their face, and nobody stopped them. And Paro runs out in the middle of the night and tells all the Jews, you're free to go, you're free to go. And there's a huge celebration. So Hashem is scared that they're going to be a little bit demoralized, and because of that small amount, they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. But they're on such a high level. This is a real concern. This is Hashem is looking like there's so little faith in Bnei Yisrael. So I thought maybe just to get a small historical background to explain a little bit what's going on. So Medrash says like this: V'chein atam moitzi liYisrael kishahoyu b'Mitzrayim hoyu oivdin avoydes koychovim. When Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, they weren't the biggest tzaddikim. They sat there in Mitzrayim and they were doing avoydes zora. And they wouldn't let go. Moshe came and he told them, we're going to go out. This is over. The whole Sheba Mitzrayim is over. They couldn't let go of their Avodah Zarah. There's nothing I can do. As long as the Jews are worshipping Avodah Zarah, I can't take them out of Mitzrayim. That's what the Pasuk says. When he told them to take the Sefer Korban Pesach, he said, Mishchu from the Avodah Zarah. Take your hands away from the Avodah Zarah that you can't let go of, and then Kechulochem. And then take for yourselves me. Take for yourselves the Seh. Take for yourselves Korban Pesach and all the mitzvahs, and take from you, Hashem. But it only has to be after you finally can agree to let go of the Avodah Zarah. And they did, and they were able to shecht the Korban Pesach. But it didn't end. You see, because it seems like it was a very short amount of time that they were willing to agree to this. Because afterwards, they're about to go to Kriyas Yamsuf, and Hashem commands the Yamsuf to split. And the Yamsuf complains, the Medrash says. He says, I should split for these people? And then what? And then you want me to destroy the people who are chasing them, the Mitzrayim? But halalu oivdei avodah zarah, v'halalu oivdei avodah zarah. The Mitzrayim are oivdei avodah zarah, you want me to kill them? But the Jews are also oivdei avodah zarah. And the Medrash says more, that the Pesel Micha, it took a certain important avodah zarah that they had in Mitzrayim, and it went with them through the Yamsuf. That while all the Jews, the 600,000 men, were walking through Kriyas Yamsuf, they were walking with Pesel Micha. And they didn't, and they couldn't, and this was so close to them, this was so important to them, that it was so hard for them to let go. And they weren't willing to let go of their Avodah Zarah. And I think it's pashut, because it all happened very fast. It was, you know, it was a year, it's true, it was a year. It was a year from the beginning of the Makos until now. But the year went by very fast. And the year, you know, before you knew it, it was like February already. And the year was just going, and everything was happening, and things were moving, and it was just too fast that they couldn't grasp what was going on. They knew this is all very exciting, but they were also very confused at the same time. And I think to myself that it's like when you go on the two-wheeler for the first time, and your dad says that he's going to take off the training wheels, and you're shivering. I'm not ready to get rid of the training wheels. Dad, I really need the training wheels. And he says, no, don't worry. I'll take off the training wheels, but I'll hold on to the back of the seat. But I remember, I don't know if everybody remembers, but I remember that while my father was holding on to the back of the seat, but I saw that pebble in front of me. It was a little pebble. And I was so scared from that pebble. I said, what's going to happen? I'm going to go right into the pebble. I'm going to flip over out of my seat. And I was trying to turn. And my father said, relax, don't worry. You don't have to turn so fast. He saw what I was looking at. He saw what I was afraid of. It was a little bump in the road. It was nothing. It was a little bump in the road. But I'm not ready to get rid of my training wheels. You don't understand where I'm holding. This is just too fast. I just learned how to ride the bike with the training wheels. Why you have to rush me? Why you have to take me so fast? Derech Eretz Plishtim. I'm just not ready. And I think about us. I think about a lot of us, and it's Shana Bet and it's Shana Aleph, but as much as you think it's Shana Bet, you're also Shana Aleph. And in Shana Aleph especially, you could hear what I'm trying to say. It's all too fast. You look around at the other guys, and you look at yourself, that's who you're supposed to look at, and you say to yourself, is this real? How could this be real? It's February. You know, because nobody came here in September and started. Nobody started in September. So most guys started October, maybe November, and the majority December. And already so fast that the learning is so important to you, and already so fast that you just want to become better at davening, and already so fast that you're scared about going back and falling and slipping back. But how long were you in this for? You know, when they call, when Bali Tshuva call on the phone for a shidduch, I hear they call me sometimes, and they always ask the question about the other side. If the girl's asking about the boy or the boy's asking about the girl, how long has he been from for? Because this is a serious thing. You can't date a girl right out of seminary, because who is she? She knows what she really wants. She knows who she really is. She's confused. It all went very, very fast, and I'm not sure we know who we are. So Hashem saw that Klal Yisrael was very vulnerable. They were very fragile. And sometimes I think that the same way Hashem thought about Klal Yisrael, that they were putting on an act, and He's so scared to point out their fragility and to address the vulnerability, so too with us. I want to hold us here and lock the door like they do, and they do a good job. We should thank the Madrichim for locking the door, but lock the door for a longer period of time. And not because of Hamer hours, because what's going to be when you get out? What's going to be when you leave? Because the question will go in and go in and go in and around, and a lot of times it should. Who am I really? I am really the person who I remember, the things that I used to enjoy, the things that I used to look forward to in life, or this new impression that I created of myself here in just such a short span of time. So I had a kasha. If Hashem is so adamant to take care of His Klal Yisrael, so what happened over here? Vayisa Moshe es Yisrael miyamsuf. Moshe took them out of Yamsuf, and the first thing that happened after Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayetzu Midbar Shur. They get to a certain place. Vayelchu Shleishes Yomim Bamidbar Valoy Motzu Mayim, and they got to a certain place, and there was no water. Vayavoyu Marasa. They all got to this place. Valoyachlu Lishleis Mayim Imara. The water was very bitter. Aken Karo Shmo Mara. Vayiloyinu Ha'am, and the whole nation complained, and they said to Moshe, Manishte. Vayitzak Al Hashem. Vayireyu Hashem ate, and then Hashem made a miracle. Vayashlich alamayim, He put down on the water, a huge tree fell down on the water and made all the bitter waters sweet waters. And then He told them, if you keep the mitzvahs, things will be good. If you don't, things will be bad. But the next pasuk is what always bothered me. Listen to the next pasuk. Vayavo elima, the next stop, the next day, they get to the next place called Elim. Visham shteim esrei einois mayim, there are 12 streams of flowing water. Veshivim tamarim, and 70 day trees. This place is like the most beautiful place, and it has all the water they want. So why did Hashem not take them straight to Elim? Why did they have to go through first Mara? If you're so scared to test these people because you're so scared that they're so fragile, so take them to Elim. We don't have to test them. We don't have to give them any challenges in life. We could take them straight to Elim, and they don't have to go through what they did. That's the first sin that Klal Yisrael did, the first complaint that they had, that the water is not good enough for us. We want water, not just that. We want bread. Hashem gave them all. We want meat. And then they started going all off, all the requests that they had on their list. And they started not asking politely. They started yelling at Hashem that you don't give us water, and you don't give us bread, and you don't give us meat. And why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim, and you want to kill us here, and this is what you look forward to, and this is what we have to look forward to, and why'd you take us here? We don't even want to be here. So Hashem, you knew that they're fragile. You knew that this is very dangerous to take these people in here. So why are you bringing them? Bring them straight to Elim. They'll have all the lollipops that they want, and with these lollipops, they'll enjoy life. So why do you have to test them? Because in the beginning of the year, I use my mashal, and I hope it's not insulting. I don't mean this insulting. But in my mashal, a lot of us came here on spiritual stretchers. And everybody here was different. Some guys just needed an IV, and other guys were foaming at the mouth, spiritually. And a lot of guys, I looked around, I remember, in the beginning of the year, and I said, what's going to be at the end? You know, most of you guys, you had no interest. No interest is like a nice way of putting it. No interest to open, to buy even a Gemara. No interest to even come to Dav. Not even an interest. With all the force and with all the push and with all the threats, no interest. Nothing. And I said, how's it going to change? And I'll be honest, that throughout the year, and this was more towards the beginning, I had very much a lot of frustrations with particularly the guys that I have to deal with. And I went to one of the other Rebbeim, and he told me a mashal that comforted me very much. He told me like this. He said, you know, a lot of these guys that they come in, they're flying 800 miles an hour in a certain direction. And their whole lives they've been trained to run after and chase things that the whole world, the whole society have taught them to chase. And this plane is going real fast. And you expect that they show up here and you turn off all the engines? So he says, good. So go and try to turn off all the engines. But there's so much momentum from the 800 mile an hour plane that even after you turn off all the engines, the momentum will keep them going until Hanukkah. That's what he told me. And that's what I saw with my eyes. Some miracle of Hanukkah happened. And I've been waiting a month and a half since Hanukkah to have this shmooze. Not because I knew it was going to be today, but I've been waiting to talk about something. Since Hanukkah, for a month and a half, I've seen the drinkers become serious B'nai Torah. I've seen guys who told me, I will not spend 50 shekel on this stupid book. I've seen these people not just spend the 50 shekel, I've seen these people that they can't take their face away from this stupid book. I've seen guys throughout these month and a half, I'm not even talking about half a year, for a month and a half, that I see guys now, that I look at their faces while they daven, and I say to myself, when is it going to be over so we'll have a minyan for Chazaras Hashatz? Because he can't stop davening. And he's so serious, and he got so into it, and what in the world is going on? And then I say, we have 7 weeks left. We only have 7 weeks left. But we also have 7 weeks left. And in 7 weeks, that's all I saw for 7 weeks. And for the next 7 weeks, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to seeing. Vayhi b'shalach Paro, when Paro sent out Klai Yisrael, Moshel le'echot shemotza tzoro shel margolios, a guy found a pouch of stones. V'lo hoya yodea ma'biyado, he didn't know what was contained inside the pouch. You know, I have this pouch. I just don't know what to do with it. It doesn't fit in my pockets. I have nowhere to keep this thing. Why don't you take this pouch from me? What am I going to do with the pouch? The other one said. Just take it. Leave me alone. Let me go on my way. Do me a favor and take this pouch. So he took it from him. Once that guy who took the pouch walked into the city, he started to announce. He started to announce that I'm selling each one individually, the big stones by themselves and the small stones by themselves. So the guy who originally gave him the pouch walked in and he saw this man selling. And he heard this man saying, Kitana Zubakamu, how much can I buy the small one for? Amrloy Bekuf Rebo, $10,000. Vagdoilo Bekamu, how much can I buy the big stone for? Amrloy Be'elef Reboy, $100,000. Kevin Shiro Okach Kora Begodov. And when the guy saw this, he ripped his shirt. Amr Kolha Isha Hazebiod, I had all this wealth in my hand. Fechinam Haitsesi, and I let it go for free. Woe is to the person who such a tragedy fell upon him. And the same fate fell upon Paro. This pouch of rocks, of gems, of jewels, that's Klal Yisrael. Shehoyu b'yado, that this pouch was in his hand, Shenemar, Tzor Hamor, Doidi Loit says in Shia Shirim about Klal Yisrael, there were a pouch of precious jewels. Hischel Tzoyveach Kumu Tzeu, when he told Klal Yisrael, go get out of Mitzrayim. And then Moshe started to count them, 1, 2, and 3, and that one's worth 10,000, and the other one's worth 100,000. Sheish meyos elef, and I have 600,000. Chutz mi shifto shalevi, shevet levi, the kohanim and levim are not even worthy of counting. They're too much to count. They're uncountable. And when Paro saw all these great jewels that were Klal Yisrael that he let go of, that he had the whole time, he started to say, "Woe is upon me." And I had such siyata d'shmaya tonight because a guy just recently today came over to me. And he said, you know what? I'm thinking about this place. And I have such a problem going on here in Netiv Aryeh. Such a problem. And he made me so nervous. And he says to me, you know what my problem is about Netiv Aryeh? This place is so good. This place is just too good. That there's so many Urbane that are willing to talk to me. And there's so many Shirim that I can attend. And there's so many Chavrusas who want to learn. And all the Shonabek guys want to help me. And there's all these older guys who are coming to me and helping me with all my problems. And I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it at all. And I had a breath of fresh air. This is his problem. This problem I could deal with. And he said to me, and I also have a great solution to my problem. I have a phenomenal solution. You know what I'm going to do, he said to me? He said, I'm going to go straight, a one-way ticket without the pass, go straight to Golis. I'll go to Golis for 1 week. And I can't speak Hebrew. So I'll sit there by myself. I'll be miserable. No Shirim that I could understand. No Rebbeim I could talk to. No Shana Bekais who are looking out for me. And then I'll suffer. And then when I come back here, then I'll appreciate what I have. And I don't think this is the solution. What I think, I want to tell everybody what I think. What I think, this is not the solution, because when you come back for 3 days, you'll start to appreciate what you have. But the point of yeshiva, the point of Netiv Aryeh, the point of everything that goes on here, is not to appreciate what you have. There's a much greater, a much more purposeful thing. To appreciate who you are. Then in the beginning of the year, you only need IV, and you're only foaming at the mouth because you have no idea who you are. You have no idea. Nobody ever told you. No Shanabek guy that you sit across from every night for an hour and a half ever told you for the last 18 years of your life how much your jewel is worth. Nobody ever told us. And the whole time we're in the pouch, we have no idea what's in the pouch. No clue. Nobody, everybody's too scared to open up the pouch. And we create this belief. That I know who I am. I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what's in my pouch. All the things that I believe in. All the things that I chase. All the things that I'm interested in. This is what my life is all about. The way I perceive that my profession should take me. The way I perceive that my taiva should take me. The way I perceive that my kavod should take me. And that used to be my whole life. And the pouch was sealed shut. Tied shut. With 100 knots. And finally you come here and one knot is unraveled and then the next knot is unraveled and finally you could open it up and you could finally look at yourself and you say, oh my God, I could be so mature. I could be so emotional. I could be so intellectual. I could be so spiritual. I never knew this about myself. We don't have to run to Golus. We have to run to one place. Because Klal Yisrael was not complaining about water. Because Chazal teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu, after the complaint about water, he told them, you know what, from now on, you can't go 3 days without Torah. Because you went 3 days without Ruchnius, and going 3 days without Ruchnius, you get all mara. You get all bitter. And you start to complain that the water's not good, and there's no bread, and there's no meat, and there's nothing to live for. But all you need is a little bit of Ruchnius in your life, because Ruchnius is the answer to your problem. Because that's what will unravel the rock that is inside of you. That is what will allow you to see who you really are, because I'm telling you straight, you can marry these seminary girls right in the middle of seminary, because that's who they really are. And what happens afterwards is not who they really are. It's what society tries to make of them. But this is who you really are. So I comfort myself that the plane landed a month and a half ago. And the plane not just landed, but the plane turned around. And the plane then started to go in the other direction. And it took off. But this plane needs a lot of fuel. Because there's so much gravity weighing down this plane that won't let it take off to its full strength. So I comfort myself that we have 7 weeks left. And just like it took 7 weeks to get here, and that's honestly all it took since Hanukkah, in another 7 weeks, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what's going to be in 7 weeks. And I know we have after Pesach. I'm aware of this. I don't think the year ends on Pesach. But this is Ritzifus. This is continuity. This is straight. This is the plane will fly strong and will fly hard and will fly stronger and stronger as we go. Because it's not uphill anymore. We got to the peak. And from now on it's downhill. And downhill it's very easy to run. Because when I hear that a guy in Shana Aleph, who until January 29th, refused to open a Gemara, he went up to a guy at 11:15 at night, when he should be sleeping or watching movies, I don't even know what he should be doing, and he said, do me a favor, Can you chazer with me an Amud? Can you chazer with me an Amud? When I hear this about a guy who until January 29th, I have personal testimony, until January 29th, refused to open any books. And now he goes up to people at 11:15 at night and he says, can you please chazer with me, Amud Gemara? That's who you really are. And take this 7 weeks to make yourself fully aware that that's, yeah, who you really are. And when you listen, and I want you to listen to all these guys in 10 years, and in 10 years, if chas v'shalom, somebody is still not who you really are, don't lie to yourself. And this is a memory for 10 years. Don't lie to yourself and say, that was just a fad. And you know, it was something I tried. And I was brainwashed. And it wasn't really me. No, that's really you. And what happens afterwards is only a test of how strong you became here. We should all be sa'ata d'shmaya to appreciate this and to appreciate who we really are and to learn who we really are. So when we go out into the real world and the real world tests us, we're not going to sit and complain about the bread and the meat and all the things. But we'll be paro before paro had to go through it. And we'll open the bags and we'll know good what rocks are inside. We'll develop it to the best. We'll see it to the best. And we're going to mirtz Hashem, all of us together, shavasiyata d'shmaya, we should be zocher to mamish appreciate who we are.
Amen.
Amen.